Well, good morning. Now, that was the message from last week, Easter Sunday, where the Word of God tells us some commands to rejoice always, to not worry, to pray about everything. And then the result of that, right, is that there will be, in the words of the Bible, this garrison of spiritual soldiers protecting, surrounding and protecting both your heart and your mind. And so we receive that, right? Did anybody try to live that out this past week to find joy in your life, triumphing over worry because you put this into practice? Anybody try to work on it? Yeah, some of you? Good. Keep working on that. Well, today we're acknowledging that worry is just one of the enemies. There's a whole host of other enemies that come against our mind, right, through the means of spiritual warfare, attacks by the evil one, negative thinking. So we're going to learn today about how to put in practice just through two verses to play defense and play offense against the attacks of our adversary, our accuser. And so we're going to speak to that this morning. And we've got a part to play. This isn't just sit back and, okay, God, take care of me. This is, I'm going to be part of spiritual warfare. I'm going to be part of a peace process in my life. And so here's the big idea, that joy will come when a believer's mind is focused on the positive things of God. Now, this isn't going to be some positive thinking, self-help book. This is going to be more authoritative than that. This is going to be scriptural principles from God's Word. So thanks for being here to join with us. Let me read the scripture, just a couple of verses from Philippians 4. Remember, we're in the pinnacle of the book of Philippians about how joy can triumph over worry, today over negative thinking, and then next week we finish up with the finale of how joy can triumph over any and all circumstances in life, and you won't want to miss that. So finally, brothers, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So we're going to unpack this. We're going to talk today about how to play defense and how to play offense. Before we do that, I want to ask Kevin and Jennifer Humphrey to join me up here because I'm going to do an interview with them. Guys, as I mentioned last hour, when I think about your lives and what you've been through, you know, Kevin just retired from being the wing chaplain at the base, and you guys have been through a lot of stuff pre-COVID, especially during COVID, and different possibilities for your career. I mean, just everything, and you guys have really stayed strong and stayed positive, and God has worked in your life. So we're going to talk about that, okay? So first thing I just want for you to share with the folks is, how did you come to this place where you felt like God was calling you to change careers and then to do something crazy like go to Poland, right? What did that process look like for normal people, right? You guys normal or you abnormal? Okay. They're not even. Okay. So tell them, for normal people.
So
we skew abnormal.
Yeah, we skew abnormal. So I would say that, you know, when we had been we felt called to military ministry, and so we've been missionaries to the military, but and sharing the gospel with the military community for 20 years. About year 18, we went through some really difficult times, and for the first time, I began to question how much longer God would want us to stay in the military. And we'd always had a sense and a real passion for international ministry to international people. And so we knew that God was going to call us to that. We just wasn't sure of the when or the timing. And then one day, something happened, and it wasn't good. And then I remember this verse came to my mind. It was, go live joyfully with the wife who you love all the days of your life. And that verse just kept circulating through my mind. I told Jennifer, I said, gosh, I guess God wants me to be more joyful around you because this verse keeps going through my mind. And she said,
yes, absolutely.
Yes. And so anyways, and then the next day I went for a run and that verse kept on going through my mind. I was like, God's trying to tell me something else. I wasn't sure what it was. And then as I was running, that whole passage came to my mind and it says, go your way. Eat your bread with joy and drink wine with a merry heart, for the Lord is pleased with your works. Whatsoever your hands desire to do, go do quickly with all your might, and go live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your life. And I knew right then God had called us to leave. I went home and told Jennifer. She was a trooper. Told my chain of command, don't consider me from a promotion the next day from this point forward. And we applied.
So we applied through the IMB, International Mission Board. It is an incredible organization. It's the best if you're interested in missions. But let me tell you, we would retire, have a nice retirement, get a cute little house somewhere, continue ministry on the side, and just, you know, live lovely. And, you know, God interrupted us. And so I would encourage you, be interruptible. Let God interrupt your plans. Because we were not even on the field yet, but even in the process, we have met the most amazing people. And God has taught us some really, really incredible things. It really doesn't matter your age. I'm just saying, yeah. I hate to call us old. We're getting old, but it's fine. But, you know, we think of missions as, oh, these kids are going to go or these young people are going to go. There is no age requirement, especially with IMB. They tell us there's no age requirement. As long as you're healthy to go, go. We've got a couple kids serving in different ways. We've got one who's on a short-term tour in Southeast Asia. We have another one doing a journeyman tour. So, and we're going to go long-term. So there's all sorts of ways you can serve and you can be involved in international missions. And I encourage you to check into it. IMB.org is where you want to go. IMB.org, check it out.
And that's not just because that's the mission organization that we support here in the church. So every time that we receive offerings to our general budget, a little bit goes to the IMB. But it's great because when you guys get on the field, you don't have to worry about your pay, medical insurance, retirement, your house, that's all covered because, you know, almost 48,000 churches are participating across the country through IMB Connecting. So that's pretty sweet, right? And so, as they said, we're praying for God to raise up people in our church to go on the mission field. Young people, old people, people in retirement, people, which we're just talking, young people who just graduated from high school don't have to wait to get their college degree before they can be journeymen. They can do part of it. They can just go and do like a two-year stint. You can go for 2 months. So there's so many ways to be used of God. So thanks for saying yes. So now tell the church what that looks like for you, your steps in this journey, okay? What's coming up?
And I want to say first that you guys are our sending church. I think that's really, that's where the process starts really is that the IMB reaches out to the pastor and says, hey, do you think these people are weird, you know? And so are they okay for us?
And I said, yes, but I think they're quite capable. No, we said all kinds of good things about you, yes.
Yeah. And so right now we are in the process of, we're in the final stages of onboarding with IMB right now. And so we're going to our final 7-week training, July 31st. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we will go to Poland. We'll be in Poland by the end of September of this year. So
that's so exciting. Sarah, I'm looking over your shoulder. Sarah, are you excited about this? Yeah? Caleb was here last hour. Is Caleb excited, do you think? All right, cool. Good. So what's next? What else am I going to ask you? Okay, so tell us about where you're going in Poland and what you're going to be doing.
So we'll be going to Poznan, Poland, in Western Poland.
And how big is that?
I don't know. It's about half a million.
Half a million,
yeah.
So a big
college,
city.
College city, very Western, so I mean, it's going to be, I'm really excited. We're going to go live in Europe. So why don't you talk about what our job will be?
Yeah, so we're going to be team leaders for Western Poland. And by the way, the IMB doesn't just hire me. They hire us. And so we go as a team and as a family. So they hire our whole family. And so we're going to be the team leaders for Western Poland, responsible for evangelizing and helping plant churches for all of Western Poland. So so we're super excited and can't wait.
And as I said earlier, You'll be the only, like, IMB, SBC missionaries there right now, but you're going to get a team.
Yes.
So invite them to join you.
Yes, come on. Yeah, so we're...
I'll invite you. Come and to join us. No, okay. So it takes about a year. The process from start to finish, if you're going long-term or mid-tour, say a two-year term, it takes about a year from start to finish. You could start the process today and maybe be on the field in about a year. It's taken longer for us because of the military retirement stuff we had to figure out. But... So, in about a year, we're going to get to recruit our own team. Yep. Would you like to come and live in Poland with us?
Yeah, there you go.
Start the process now. IMB.org, go check it out.
And so, and there will be, there's already missionaries there from other denominations, so you'll have some immediate friends and help have people to help you, show you around and all that. So, yeah. And you don't have to be, as I joked last hour, you guys are professionals, right? You are a pastor, a preacher, a military chaplain. You've been involved your whole marriage life in ministry. You guys are pros, but what about the normal people, right, who maybe they're teachers, maybe they're engineers, maybe they're doing other careers. They can be used by the IMB too as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this is the great thing. So a lot, we've gotten to meet so many young couples that are going to be missionaries that they have no background in ministry. And a lot of them have been believers for 5 or 6 years and just feel this immense desire to want to tell the nations about Jesus. And so it's been so exciting for us to see how God is moving in the younger generation right now, mm-hmm. calling them to missions. So if you're there, we're going to be here after the service. If you have any questions, please feel free to...
If you're interested at all, we would love to talk to you and share more about the process and how to do that.
So you're going to be here?
Yeah, we'll stay.
Right here
we'll
after
stay.
The
we'll
service?
Yeah.
Because I'm just telling you, things are changing, and now the IMB is allowing people to go and work during their career. Maybe they're a doctor or nurse, an English teacher, and work, and then your side job is you're a missionary, and they'll train you how to do that, right? So lots of opportunities. So we got to get into the sermon. So what's the segue? How are you guys trying to see in a very dark, hard, I mean, you're going near Ukraine, right? Mm-hmm. How do you try to keep a positive attitude about this?
You know, I think it's important to always remember that you know, we look at our world and we think, man, Satan's always working. And we think we always see the negative and the amplification through multimedia of the work of Satan. But whatever Satan is doing, God is doing more. He is
Amen.
More powerful. And so Jennifer's going to share just a little bit about what he's doing right now.
So I just think, to your question, Steve, whenever it's dark, that's when you know Jesus is about to show up. So think of Easter. Think of Jesus dying. That was the darkest time in all of history. It was just before the resurrection, which is the most important thing that has happened in all of human history. And so I just think that's the pattern that God works in. So things seem dark. That means God's about to do something. It's dark in that part of the world. There's some scary things going on with Ukraine and Russia and people going into Poland seeking refuge. But some really incredible things have happened. Just a few weeks ago, a new church was born. A Ukrainian church was born in Poland so that the Ukrainians can worship in their language. And that's such an important thing to provide for them. How many Bible studies have gone out? 221 Bible studies. Ukrainian Bible studies have dispersed all over Europe because of the dispersion of the Ukrainian people. So it's scary, but
God
hey, but that's amazing. It's really
focused
amazing.
Focused on what God's doing rather than what the devil's doing. So.
Yeah, that's cool. So I pray for missionaries predominantly, not just, but on Mondays. What is your day to pray for missionaries? So whatever it is, add Kevin and Jennifer to that list, right? Add them and Caleb and Sarah as well. So we're going to pray for you right now, okay?
Sure.
All right. Lord, thank you for folks who are willing to go out of their comfort zone and just explore the kingdom of God and be on mission. How exciting that is. God, go before them and just prepare their way. Surround them while they are there. Give them protection. Give them fruitfulness. Bless them much in every way, God, and use them to just move your kingdom forward a little bit, God. Thank you. That's what you want from all of us, just to move your kingdom forward. So help us to do that, Lord. Bless them much. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks, guys. Why don't you thank them? So let's share quickly some principles about how to put this positive thinking into practice where joy can win in your life. I was thinking about this way, the need to play offense and defense. See, there's no football team, soccer team, baseball team that can only play offense, right? You got to play defense. I mean, the Nebraska Huskers, their defensive line just can't, in the middle of a game, say, hey, you know, we're really tired of hitting people. Running back, come on through. It's your lucky day, right? They can't do that, right? Somebody on special teams can't be in the end zone receiving the kickoff and run about 20 yards and stop and say, don't tackle me yet, and hand the guy the ball. Let me tackle you, and then you're on offense again because we really like defense best, right? We're really good. You see if you can score on it. You can't do that. You need defense. You need offense. And it's the same way in our spiritual lives. And when I look at this passage, which is like two whole verses, I see offense. I see, here's the offensive plays you run. Here's what you do with your mind. Here's what you do with your body. Verses 8, verses 9. And those are explicit, but there's also some implicit teaching here that we can back up with the rest of Scripture about how to play defense and the need to play defense. And so that's my first principle. Doesn't even come from verses 8 and 9, but it comes from the Word of God in many places. And that is, the first thing is to play defense, and that is protect your mind from destructive thoughts. From thinking that's just going to take you down the tubes, thinking that's going to derail everything good that you want in your life. See, your mind is the battlefield. Would you agree with that? It's your mind. It's all about your mind. Throughout history, there's been people who have controlled empires, but they couldn't master their own minds. I mean, even in the Bible, I think of King Saul. He reigned in Israel for 40 years, but he got too big for his britches, his arrogance, his pride. I mean, he lost his mind. He could control his empire, but he couldn't control his own mind. And we see that play out through a lot of leaders in history. And that's why Proverbs says, it's better to win control over yourself than over whole cities. Think about that. Proverbs 25 says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. And so think about the habitually weak areas of your life or of my life. And you don't have to raise your hand, but you know, maybe it's pride. Maybe it's anger, your temper. Maybe it's sensual sins or sexual sins. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe it's jealousy. Can all be traced back to a root problem of the inability, your inability, my inability to control our minds, to control our thoughts. As James 1 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, dear brothers and sisters. So protect your mind from destructive thoughts that pollute. All my whole life I've been taught garbage in, garbage out. You've heard that, right? And that's true for our physical bodies. Forgive me, Lord. It's same for our minds. Forgive me, Lord, for that too. Garbage in, garbage out. You can go to your laptop, you can go to your PC or whatever, and you can delete files. You can use McAfee, you can have a professional techie come in and clean your computer. Most would say they can't do it perfectly. There's always something, right? But let me tell you this, you cannot erase data from your mind. You cannot erase data from your mind. God has created you so beautifully in your mind, so perfectly. It's there. And that's why your job and my job is to protect our minds so we don't absorb those toxins and those thoughts that will be replayed when the devil comes against us, when Satan comes against us in spiritual warfare. He's targeting your mind. He wants to replay those. He's your adversary. He's your accuser. It's all about what goes in. I read the testimony of a young lady, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and she said, I was the homecoming queen. And everybody thought, for high school, right? And everybody thought that I was this perfect person. I mean, my parents thought that, my friends thought that, everybody thought I was such a perfect person. But before graduation, I got pregnant, I had a baby, I married the young man soon afterwards. I knew he wasn't right, but I married him, and it turned into an abusive relationship. He not only mistreated me, he mistreated the child. We got divorced, and now I carry all these emotional scars from my life, from that abuse and my child's abuse. I carry those scars day in and day out, and my mind goes to them. And where did she say it all began? She can look back, and she can trace it back to not protecting, not guarding her mind. She stopped playing defense. She said that her senior year, she started just gradually watching more and more inappropriate videos and mature audience-rated Netflix and Hulu movies. And she started hanging around with non-believers more than her believing friends. And she claimed to be a believer. She dropped her guard and gave in to her non-Christian boyfriend. And she knows exactly how the downward spiral started. It started in her mind. It wasn't, oh, bad people doing bad things to her. It started in her mind. She didn't protect, she didn't guard her mind. You know, this thing I read in James chapter 1, where we can't say, well, God's tempting me, right? Let me just tell you, you can't always just blame it on the devil either. Evil thoughts lead to evil desires, lead to evil actions, and lead to sin. And the Bible says that leads to death, right? It's going to kill something. What starts in our brain is going to end up putting to death something good that God wants in your life. It might be a relationship. It might be your joy. It might be your confidence. It might be that God has a really good route for you in your school, your education, someone to marry, job, ministry with the Lord, and it's derailed. And it all started in your mind. Now, I get it with God. My God has got a second chance. How about you? Yes? I've messed up many times in my life. And it isn't like, oh, I'm off God's path. He throws me away. No. He starts over again. But I'm just telling you, there's some consequences to sin that never go away. Your forgiveness is permanent, right? But it all starts in your mind. And that's why Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is a memory verse. That is something you need to memorize and remind yourself of. The battle is going to be against your mind. Evil thoughts lead to evil actions, lead to death of something. And so the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 that we got to practice spiritual warfare. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. What does that mean? I can tell you one thing. You screaming at non-believers is not going to get you anywhere. You standing up and saying, my way is the right way, is not going to get you anywhere. You're going to influence people by your purity, by the way you speak the truth in love to them, by the way you live it out where they can go, oh, she really does practice what she preaches. That's where it starts, but it's spiritual warfare. On the contrary, they have divine power, is right, our weapons, our spiritual weapons, to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And listen to this. We take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. That's your part. You can't say, God, do that for me. Mom, Dad, do that for me. It says, you take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So what do you do that? What kind of thoughts do you do that with? Well, some of you, because of military or other reasons, you've traveled a bunch, like I have. I've been spent a lot of time on mission trips in Argentina and in Africa a lot. I can tell you what some of the South Americans think about our country. I can tell you what a lot of Africans think about our country. They don't hate us. But I can tell you that some people who are Hindus know that we judge them for having hundreds of thousands of gods that they worship. And they would say, no, you Americans don't judge us. You have all your idols of materialism. You're the most materialistic country on earth. You have your idols that you worship of your homes and your clothes and your cars and your boats and your vacations and your recreation. You worship idols too. The world looks at us and sees that we are people who claim to be a Christian country, but we get our fix from stuff. We worship our stuff. Or maybe I know some that believe this. You judge us because we're in a little war skirmish with the border of another country that we think we're right in doing, and yet you guys are the most violent nation on earth. Every night you Americans sit in front of your TVs and you watch people murder each other. Every night. You're fascinated with murder. You're fascinated with violence. I know some, like down in Africa, say, you guys are a super sexualized society. Everything about your advertising, everything you do is about sex and sport. But Ephesians 5 says, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, impurity, greed. It goes on. Obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking. We are to be different. And we are to guard our minds that are going to be attacked from all of these areas. Let me just ask you, who decides what comes into your mind? You do. Who decides what comes into your home? Well. That's Cox Cable. It's their fault. Right? That's our internet provider. That's Hulu. I wish they'd clean up their act. That's Netflix. That's the TV networks. Or I'm not, it's my college age student that's still living with us. I can't control them. Listen, adults, it's you. What comes into your minds, what comes into your home is up to you. God's not going to protect you from that stuff. I hate to tell you. That is you being smart about guarding your mind and allowing Christ to guard your mind. That's playing defense. I shared this before, I think, but Susan and I were watching this little sitcom on Hulu that we really liked, and it was funny, and it was just really clever, and it's one of the most popular shows. But we're watching it, and it was just so full of F-bombs, and it was so full of no nudity at all, but just sexual situations, and none of them had anything to do with marriage. It was all just freelance. And so we finally decided, we really like that show. It's so funny and entertaining, but we're not going to watch it anymore because we've got to control what comes into our minds. And I'm just saying, you guys have to make those same decisions about who you connect with on the internet, what social media platforms you use, or how deep you go, or how much time you spend. You've got to know how to filter out stuff on social media. You've got to know. You've got to protect your mind. So that's playing defense. Verses 8 and 9 talk about how to play offense. Look at that quickly with me. It's play offense by practicing thoughts that give life. We've seen the list, and we're going to go down this list here. Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, and we'll stop at each one of these. You know what that means in the Greek language of the New Testament? You know what true means? Anybody have a guess? Luke, it means true. It means true. That's what it means. True means true. We are surrounded everywhere we look. Not just social media. I mean, it is mainline TV news. It's internet news. And you're going, wait a minute, that's not true. They're spinning that story right or left. That is not true. And so the Word of God says to fill your mind with thoughts that are true. The next word is honorable. Really, it means honest. It goes with the truth thing, honest. Honest thoughts, not deceived, not stuff that someone on social media put on a reel. I mean, what is true? And I'll tell you this, I need to know truth in my life. That's why every morning I read a dose of this. This is my truth fix, and it helps me know truth about my life, about the real me, the real you, the real world. I need truth. So he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, what's honorable, what is just. And that word means righteous. In other words, in agreement with God's standards. Do you think you need to know what God's standards are? You think you need to be thinking about what's really right as opposed to what's shady, what's wrong that you think you can get away with? It's whatever things are right, whatever things are pure. In other words, not contaminated, free from defilement. That's so hard. Listen, I'm going to live in the world. I'm not going to run away from the world. I want to reach the world for Christ. I want some non-believing friends, but I've got to know what is pure and what's impure. And so we fill our lives with what is pure, whatever things are lovely. And really, in the language of the New Testament, that means toward love. So you can either lead towards love and have conversations towards love, or towards gossip, hate, racism, prejudice, immorality, right? This is leading towards love in your relationships, true God, agape love. Whatever things are of good repute or good reputation. The Bible says, run away from any appearance of evil. He goes on to say, whatever things are excellent. Don't have time. 1 Peter 2:9. Whatever things are worthy of praise. In other words, think about, fill your mind with things that bring glory to God, that God would say, I like that. Think about that again. I like that. That brings glory to me. That's good. Think about that. And so we're to fill our lives. Again, Romans 12, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's all about your mind. And when you do this, then it says, then you can approve God's will, the good, acceptable, and the perfect. In other words, you're going to be able to discern the good from the bad, the right from the wrong, the things that will build you up and give you victory in your life and joy, as opposed to things that won't. My testimony is this, that going back to 2 Corinthians 10:5, about taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I've decided something's got to give. I decided this long ago. I touched on it last week a little bit, but in my seminary days when I was much younger and then throughout, something's got to give. Either my mind is going to control me or I'm going to control my mind. Either these negative thoughts, and you can put any word in there, any category for negative that you want, are going to control me or I'm going to control my mind. And that in the end, I've got to just take captive my thoughts to Jesus Christ. And I do not do it perfectly. Let me tell you, I didn't do it perfectly this past week. Hopefully, I'll do it better this week. But it is a process of every day. No, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm going to take that captive to Christ. I'm going to instead play offense. And I'm going to think about things that build me up and please God. And so it's a practice. It's a behavior. And why is this so important? Because of the principle of replacement. Do you know the principle of replacement? That it isn't just enough to say, okay, I'm going to shelter myself. I'm not going to think any bad thoughts. Jesus tells a story about a parable about a house that had a demon in it. And they cast the demon out. Remember this story? This is from Luke 11. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through the places, arid places, seeking rest, does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. In other words, you play defense. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and they live in that nice, clean, tidy home. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. Why? He played defense, but he didn't play offense. He didn't fill up his house, his mind, with the positive things of God. So there's a warning there. So we play defense. We also play offense. The way you play offense is just putting good things into your mind, but it's also obedience. Practice behavior that brings peace. Right? Verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul's just repeating what he did at the end of chapter 3. Follow me as I follow Christ. My mind is set on my true citizenship in heaven. Remember that? I'm going to be thinking more about that and less about all my stuff here. I'm going to put that into practice. And as I do that, follow me as I follow Christ. See, when your mind is filtering out the garbage and you have the ability to put in good things into your mind, then it's going to lead to you obeying. It's going to lead to you following Jesus a little bit better with this renewed mind that you have. See, joy is a byproduct of obedience. Richard Foster, the famous teacher on prayer, says this: joy, not grit, in other words, not your hard work, joy is the hallmark of holy obedience. It's a cheerful revolt against self and pride. Utter abandonment to God is done freely with celebration. And so I urge you to enjoy this ministry of self-surrender. The saints throughout the ages have witnessed to this reality. In other words, the people who are long dead and gone, the saints of God throughout all the ages have understood this, that there's a correlation between joy and obedience, obedience and joy. So be on mission. Get something to do. Have something to do for God. It's going to help you with your mind and your obedience. Do not just be a hearer of the word. Put it into practice. Be in the word. Be around other believers. Because it's this beautiful circle that obedience, doing the right thing, is going to lead you to peace. Peace is going to bring joy. And then joy in the Lord is going to bring you back to obedience. It's a life-giving circle. So, as I close, the battle is in your mind. It's going to be in your mind this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, and every day. You've got to play defense this week. Protect your mind from destructive thoughts. You've got to play offense this week by putting in your brain the positive godly things that are going to give you the strength to obey Jesus, to love Jesus more. So that's your homework. Find a way this week to play defense. What's got to go? I mean, really. What's one thing that's got, you've got to put up the walls of defense? It's got to go. You can't entertain that anymore. And then what's got to be added? What's got to come in? How are you going to play offense this week? If you do, I promise you, you're going to experience joy triumphing over negative thoughts. Let's pray for each other that we'll do that. Lord, help us. Help us, Father, to put into practice your word. It's so practical. It's not pop psychology. It is truth. I pray for these, my friends. I pray for myself that we would play defense this week and that we would choose to say no to some things. And I pray we would play offense this week and we would fill you in our minds. Just fill our minds up with your presence, your spirit, your word, other believers, God, things that are going to move us forward. And when we do that, Lord, we're going to have a new level of obedience. God, I pray for anyone who's never started this journey and you're not in their lives yet. And so I pray that there would be some who would call out to you and say, Jesus, it's time. It's time. I surrender. I give up. I want you to be the God of my life now, not me. Come in and take control. Put your spirit in me that's going to change my mind where I'm going to seek the positive and get rid of the negative. So God, work in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.